Greetings and welcome into the CBMW podcast, your refuge from the sexual revolution and safe space from our culture's insanity. I'm Jonathan Swan, the executive editor of Icon, a journal for biblical anthropology, and I am joined with the president of CBMW, Denny Burke, and Colin Smothers, CBMW's executive director. Guys, it's good to have you back.
Great to be here.
I am very glad to be here.
Guys, today we're going to be discussing a report. It's called The Decline of Trans and Queer Identity Among Young Americans. It's by Professor Eric Kaufman. It's from the Center of Heterodox Social Science. It's report number 5. Brothers, what is significant about this report? Why today are we talking about this 20-page report from an organization that I had never heard of with a very interesting name, the Heterodox Social Sciences?
Well, the significance of it is it's really a summary of other studies that have been done on the prevalence of non-binary, transgender, bisexual, you know, non-heterosexual identities, especially on college campuses, but even beyond. So it's not really new research. It's collating previous research and reaching some conclusions that are going to be surprising to a lot of people, because the study is finding that since 2003, the number of students who are identifying as LGBTQIA has almost gone in half. So from about 7% of the population to something like 4%. So it's a major change that this study is tracking in those who identify as such.
Yeah, one of the reasons why we're talking about this, John, is this guy, Eric Kaufman, who's a professor. He says he's a professor of politics on his social media bio, and he teaches at in Vancouver, British Columbia. And he highlighted this study. He wrote it, I think, for Heterodox Academy, collating some data from an organization called FIRE. And I think it concentrates specifically on the university population, even in the U.S., even more specifically, looks at sort of Ivy Leagues and kind of elite institutions and sees that there is something significant going on. And when I'm looking at the data and, you know, looking at these trends that he's summarizing, something peaked in 2023. And, you know, John and I, we were just talking right before this podcast. I think that feels anecdotally true, that something happened between maybe 2020 to 2023 that reached a peak wokeness that we have seen really for the last year and a half, maybe even almost 2 years now, kind of a rollback and a pushback to really the pure insanity that we saw in all manner of social institutions, but specifically regarding gender identity and sexual orientation. And what this data is giving us is maybe some more concrete numbers and some concrete ways to look at what we've all felt as somewhat of a sea change in even American and Western life.
You know, it might be worth mentioning just some of the data from the executive summary, just so people, listeners will know what we're talking about. It says this, it says, after surging in the 2010s and 20s, trans and queer identities are in decline among young Americans. The transgender share among university students peaked in 2023 and has almost halved since, from nearly 7% to 4%, which is what I mentioned a minute ago. But then it says the share of students identifying as not heterosexual fell by about 10 points in the same period. The decline in non-heterosexual share is concentrated in the queer or other sexual categories. So not the gay lesbian so much as the BTQ plus minus sign divided by, you know, whatever comes next. So it's a share. All those people that were inhabiting those sort of more novel, newer gender sexual identities, that's gone down by 10 points since 2023. And so it's. And bisexuality is included in that as well. And so it says today's freshmen are less BTQ plus than seniors, suggesting that the decline will continue. And then it gives some speculations on what the explanation of this is. It claims that the decline of BTQ plus identification does not appear to be connected to lower social media use, religious revival, a shift to the political right, or support for woke ideology. But it does show some evidence that maybe improved, quote unquote, mental health has led to the decline. But we can talk about all that.
Yeah, it is interesting. I've recently appreciated the work of Abigail Schreier and Jonathan Haidt. And, you know, Jonathan Haidt, of course, argues that social media use has really decimated our younger generations, caused just this upsurge, just dramatic upsurge in mental illness. And then Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage, talks about how social media concocted sort of a social contagion, especially among young girls. But this report seems to think, well, at least on the social media side, we don't see dramatic changes in the time periods that this study focuses on that would indicate it's a major driver of the change. What do you guys think about either of those considerations?
Well, I mean, just because you don't see a decline in social media use doesn't mean that it's not relevant, because you don't have to have a decline in use to have a difference in use. Mm-hmm. So what Abigail Schreier was tracking in her book, which is incontrovertible, is that, you know, a lot of these young women, well, she basically was observing that the study showed that there was a 4,000% increase in people young women identifying as transgender from the 2019 and 10 years before, like a 4,000% increase. And she was trying to say, okay, what was the reason for that? Well, all of these young women had certain characteristics in common, one of them being that they were heavily embedded in these online communities that are specifically rewarding, congratulating, cajoling people in the direction of, you know, embracing a transgender identity. So her thesis was there was a social contagion that was attached to this, and it was being delivered through social media. I don't think that part is contestable. But what has changed, and this is where, you know, the more study needs to come out, is that I think we reached a kind of critical mass of wokeness from 2020 to 2023 as a culture. You'll remember that summer of 2020 and afterward, everybody on the planet was reading these, you know, woke books. If you had an HR department at your place of work, they may be having you read what were those two major ones? The one by Ibram X. Kendi, How to Be an Anti-Racist, and then what was the other one by the woman?
It's the one that Matt Walsh interviews in his documentary.
Yeah, her name is escaping me right now, but. And this was so mainstream, right? And so in these woke identities, which include aberrant sexual identities, aberrant gender identities, all of those things were kind of coming into their own during that period, so that you had social cachet and you were kind of treated as a special person if you were inhabiting one of these identities. And so I think we were seeing the peak of that from 2020 through to 2023, and I think that these stats are bearing that out. Now, I think there's been, quote unquote, a vibe shift. Mm-hmm. I think the Overton window is moving, and people are seeing, especially since 2023, that all these trans identities are not all that they're cracked up to be. And so you're not going to be rewarded if you're a man participating in female sports anymore. You're going to cause controversy. People aren't going to pat you on the back for that. You're going to probably get a lot of resistance to that. Not from everybody, but from a lot of people. Well, that's changed. That's a significant difference. You know, at the end of this report, it says that one possibility is that woke beliefs played a role in the emergence of BTQ+ identity and mental illness identification in the 2010s, which is an amazing, it's a speculation. They said more study is needed here, but they're saying, look, these woke beliefs were playing a role. And so it's a theory, right? It's not established yet, but I think just the eye test, anybody paying attention to culture, that was the case. That's what was driving a lot of this. And once you remove the incentive structures for people to identify in these identities, you're just going to have less people doing it. In other words, you're going to have, you know, an antidote to a social contagion that needed an antidote.
That's right. Jonathan, you mentioned two individuals, Abigail Schreier and then Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan Haidt's actually one of the founders of Heterodox Academy, where this report appears. But it's Schreier that kind of mainstreamed the idea that these identities function like a social contagion, which means they spread through the vectors of kind of friendships and even online through these kind of social media groups. And I think that to Denny's point, it's not that social media has to be reduced in order to, you know, to counteract this social contagion. It's that what's coming through the pipelines of that social media. And I'm going to throw out a date here. I wonder if you guys will recognize this. October 27th, 2022. You guys remember what happened on October 27th, 2022? That is the date that Elon Musk closed his deal to buy Twitter. And so what happened then is, you know, going into 2023, all of a sudden, these heterodox ideas that, you know, were counteracting this social contagion, that maybe transgenderism isn't a real identity. Maybe, you know, there are really just two sexes and two genders kind of based on biological reality. In other words, the pipelines, the social media waves were opened up to counteracting and countervening narratives that I think had a huge effect, not only on peak wokeness, but specifically on these ideas. Things like J.K. Rowling being able to go viral in her courageous stand against men, biological men competing against women in sports and invading women's spaces. And one other thing I'll add here, a phrase I like to quote, you know, after the great Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park, you know, he's known for this, this phrase, you know, life finds a way, you know, where he's talking about the Jurassic life that they're trying to create and sort of tamp down and contain. But then he goes, you know, he says, life finds a way. Well, I like to change that a little bit and say, well, nature finds a way. What's happening here, I think, is nature is God's, you know, design is reasserting itself, that you can't run away from the reality of God's world. God has made us male and female in his image, and no amount of surgeries, no amount of hormones, no amount of think pieces or social media posts is going to counteract or contradict that narrative, and you can't outrun it.
And you really, you can't overstate how significant it was that Elon Musk took over Twitter or turned it into X, because at the time, if you were talking about these things on social media, the algorithms were only rewarding you if you were speaking in affirmative ways.
And if you got to stay on the social media platform at all, they would boot you off.
Yeah. I mean, Babylon Bee got taken off for this stuff. So people were either being taken off or they were being, you know, deprioritized and their content suppressed. So it was really unbelievable what was going on until then. But now you have, I'm not saying it's been all good. You got a lot of garbage out there too, but you do have alternate viewpoints that are allowed that wasn't there before.
You know, one interesting consideration here, Colin, I think that's really wise to bring up that date, because it really did change that platform such that competitor platforms started, right, in opposition to what was going on Twitter, now X. However, a lot of the stuff that the phenomenon that Abigail cites is happening not on X, but on Instagram and TikTok. And I don't know what changes we've seen there. I mean, I read an article last year or 2 years ago that and actually Claire Morrell in her book Tech Exit talks about this as well, that it's just so easy on any of these platforms to come across not only the transgender ideology, but then to quickly move from there into extreme explicit imagery and content. And I'm really, really thankful for what's going on X, but I know that these other platforms really need to clean themselves up. Guys, what do you think about the other part of this finding, where a lot of the data is coming from elite institutions? Some of the data from your lower ranking schools seemed, you guys can correct me, a little bit more ambiguous. But a lot of the dramatic shifts, the rise in non-hetero traditional ideologies, were at the Brown universities, these highly ranked universities, and then plummeted. What say you guys about that phenomenon?
Well, they're culture shapers. They're, you know, when cultures move to the left, they're following behind elite institutions, and, you know, among the elite institutions in our society are the elite universities. So what you're going to end up seeing is probably a trickle down. People are going to, it'll be a social contagion in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But so it doesn't surprise me that you're seeing this first at the elite universities.
I think it highlights the reality that, you know, the Bible affirms people are sheep. You know, we're going to want to follow somebody or something. And, you know, Christians cannot vacate the public square. We need to contend for the public square, and institutions matter. You know, yes, a lot of change can happen from the bottom up, but a lot of change, as we've seen even with the Trump administration, can happen quickly from the top down. And we don't need to pursue one strategy over the other or to the exclusion of the other. But really, Christians, wherever they may be found, maybe in the elite circles, in your everyday kind of mom and pop circles, and everything in between, this is a battle for the truth. We are in a war for ideas against, you know, wicked ideologies, principalities, powers of the air. And we need to contend for that truth. And we need to recognize, I think this should put a little bit of wind in our sails, honestly, that things actually can roll back. Like these trends that were completely destructive for young people, that were wreaking havoc across our culture, what we're seeing is there's been a little bit of victory here. There has been some rollback of this falseness that's tearing people's lives apart. And it's in no small part owing to the courageous people, even when it was unpopular. I mean, I think all the way back to 2017 and Denny Burke leading the effort to get the Nashville Statement out there and to solidify evangelical opposition against these very ideologies. You know, we don't know how far that actually reached and affected people's minds and thoughts and activity. So I think it's a call here to be faithful wherever we're found and to continue to stand for the truth, no matter the consequences, because sometimes the truth's actually going to win out, even in our own lifetime.
Amen. Well, I don't think I can conclude any better than that. Thank you, brothers, for joining me today. For our audience, until next time, visit cbmw.org for more resources on gender, sexuality, and the family. Thanks for joining us.